B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger Mazz here on Agenda Free Friday. It's brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Again, BernardiAutoGroup.com for all your car buying needs. That who brings you Agenda Free Friday. We still have the Christmas in the City online auction. Be sure to go to ChristmasInTheCity.org, 985thesportshub.com. Bid up these items for Christmas in the City. The auction closes tonight at 6. We've already raised a tremendous amount of money. I just heard that yesterday at their Christmas in the City wreath auction, they raised $25,000.
That's amazing.
It was a great number for them. Great number. And this online auction, we're going to put up a pretty big number, too. I'm impressed, and I'm grateful. Grateful to our listeners and the people who've been bidding these items up.
It really is amazing. I'm told someone else just bid, although it hasn't been processed yet. So I don't want to give away any secrets, but what people are bidding in particular for the studio appearance here with us on the program on Felger and Mazz next Friday. People have been astonishingly generous so far.
So thank you for all of you who have bid, and whether you win or lose, those who participated, thank you for your support. But let's continue to bid the numbers up. And just go online and you can see these for yourself. Bruins tickets coming up, Celtics tickets coming up, Patriots tickets versus the Dolphins, the last game of the year, might be a particularly important ball game in terms of Tom Brady here in New England. We can bid those up. Gordon Hayward signed ball, Daron Harmon signed ball, a Revolution 4-pack of tickets that includes a pre-match field pass and a team signed ball, an Anna's Taqueria gift basket. Okay, that's on there as well. It includes BC hockey and basketball tickets, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so just go on there. The golf outing with Mazz and Hardy also on the board, and the studio sit-ins where you get to play DJ for a segment next Friday, the 13th. There'll be four of those. One, we'll take the top four bids. The bids are in the $3,000 range. So that's what we're looking at there.
I mean, incredible. Yeah, I think right now the top four are all right around $3,000. And I mean, that's a big amount of money for that item.
Okay, 6 o'clock until that. And I have a free giveaway here for you coming up later on this segment. But to your phones, Jason. Oh. Jason and Quincy. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey guys. My thing, I want to be real quick was the top of the hour. There was a press conference with Tom Brady, and there was I don't know if he was German, but he sounded German. German guy asked a question, and Tom responded that he was lucky to be in a organization. He almost said organization, and he stopped himself.
Okay, so Jason, thanks for the call. There was an awkward final question from a German media guy about the NFL 100-year anniversary and sort of like a generic question about how special the league is to you. And I thought there were some little stumbly moments there from Brady. Maybe we'll take the transcript and pick it apart as we like to do with Brady. But I don't know. Did you hear it? Did you have a thought?
No, I didn't hear that particular question. No, I heard a little bit of Brady. And I mean, I've heard some different stuff here about Brady over the last, 12 hours, 6 hours, even this morning, for example. I think it was Mike Reese who said on ESPN that behind the scenes, Brady's been a better teammate than he's looked like in games and stuff like this.
Good.
I'm happy to hear that. I hope that that's true, because I think that this week is really sort of a critical point for them. Again, Mike, typically when they lose, right, they bounce back. So now they lost a big game on the road. Now they're home against a team that they had geared for all summer. Like, and now here we are, biggest game of the year at home, the last real tough game on their schedule, although you could count Buffalo, but whatever. If they don't show up this week, or they look like they did in Baltimore, or they looked like in Houston, that's a bad sign.
Will you give up on the team?
I'll be close.
So I asked you on Monday after the Houston game, have you given up? Murray's given up.
Yep.
You had not given up. I'm not giving up. If they lose and look bad Sunday against Kansas City, do you give up? You say that's it?
I'll be close.
No, you have to be. You both have to give up.
I told you.
If they get waxed by Kansas City on Sunday, I demand you both give up.
So don't you think last year's problematic, Murray? Because they looked worse later in the year. That would the Pittsburgh game was week 15. This is week 14. Whatever.
Yeah, we're 1 week off.
So the Pittsburgh game was even 1 week farther down the line. They never lose to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin and Brady's ducking out of contact and Josh Gordon's tapping out of the game. That was week flipping 15.
I also declared the season a lost season.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We all did. I mean, I didn't think they'd win a single playoff game.
Yeah, but as it turns out, we didn't really pay that much attention to when they played the Jets and the Bills, and they found their offense, and they really the most underrated thing of last year's team is how healthy they were on both sides of the ball, and that offensive line was actually, you know, the offensive line was awesome. It's not this year. So that's maybe the biggest glaring problem.
But you understand my point.
I know.
After last year,
sure,
I'm totally gun-shy to say that's it, because and last year they had previously never done this, meaning flip a switch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Usually they were a team that got better through November and December, carried it in the playoffs with the bye and you know, played at home and all that. Last year they stumbled down the stretch. They had to go on the road. They typically don't win the Super Bowl in those kind of seasons. Well, now they have.
Surrounded cast stinks, though. It's not what it was. You still had Gronk and a healthy Edelman last year.
Last year's got me gun-shy. I'm not writing him off after this week.
Well, and it should have you gun-shy. I mean, I still think it is an aberration more than it is any sort of pattern with the Patriots historically, but this is why I said, this is the way I put it. For me, their credibility as a championship caliber team and as a defense is at stake this week. I believe in that defense right now. I think it's a good defense. If they go out and get slaughtered by Kansas City and they give up 35 points and they lose 35-14 or something, then I will say, you went to Houston, you gave up 28. You went to Baltimore, you gave up 37, and I know that wasn't all them, that there was a fumble recovery there that got taken back. And then you're going to come home and get lit up by Kansas City? And I think you're going to get into the playoffs and beat good teams? No way.
Jimmy, would the real and bold Felger and Maz of, say, like 3 years ago...
Not there. That's too bad.
Oh, damn it.
Jimmy's not here to chirp me. That's too bad. We're chirpless. the microphone's empty.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean Felger and Maz? I haven't changed. I have not changed.
You would declare it done. If they lose Sunday, the real Maz would come in here and say, like, nope, Mike, it's over. They're done. They're done. It's over.
No.
Lost season.
No, if it were the Red Sox, I would do that.
But I also don't believe
it. Did you not have an
opinion?
No,
don't worry about it. No. Go back to what you were doing. Mike and Marlboro. Go ahead, Mike, on the Patriots.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just thought yesterday you talked about Josh McDaniels and their future with the Patriots. And after watching that Dallas game last night, what are your thoughts on him being the next head coach of Dallas?
I think he should get a crack at one of these teams. Mike Lombardi, who's got a lot of Patriots insights because he's, you know, attached to the underside of Bill Belichick's scrotum, one. Two, his kid works for the team. So Lombardi has all these Patriots insight. It says McDaniels is the target of the new Carolina owner. That the Carolina owner recently did an interview and talked in terms that basically told everybody that he's going after McDaniels. So maybe it's Carolina. I think he'd be a worthy guy in Dallas. I think he's worthy of another shot. I mean, I would want the Patriots to have him be the next coach. And I understand all the faults, and I think he's had a bad year this year. I'm not pleased with him this year, but I just think he deserves another head coaching job, and I think he'll get one. And Dallas makes as much sense to me as any.
Oh, could you imagine him in Dallas?
Great.
Oh, that would be. That would be awesome. And you know what? I think McDaniels would work with Jones, which is why he's appealing to Jones.
Yeah, right. So Josh knows he can't. In Denver, they gave him the whole show. He ran the draft board like he had personnel power. He knows he's not getting that this time. So he's got to. He's going to have a boss, and he's going to have to work with people. And so he's going to have to, you know, like the rest of us, work for the man.
Dallas has players. Imagine, like, if you're an offensive coordinator, you could do a hell of a lot worse than Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Gallup.
That offensive line?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot to work with there.
Speaking of Dallas, what did the old Cooter do today down on the radio?
Well, so Jerry Jones' frustrations with the team apparently boiled over in a curse-filled hit that he did on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. This thing's awesome.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together. You're set. Okay, now we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry,
a lot to go over. Now, going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and don't like your attitude, dude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I understand that, Jerry. I'm just saying. Like,
can you stop for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I don't have the patience to jack with you this
I
morning.
I like that.
I don't
that.
Have the patience to jack with you this morning. I ain't slept on my plane. I ain't had a drip of Johnny Blue, and I ain't grabbed the ass of any young whore. I'm not here to jack with you.
I'm not here to jack with you. Oh, this is good. Go.
They must ask some questions.
All right.
That kind of question.
Is there any part of you that gets tired of hearing the questions about Garrett's job security, and do you understand why those questions keep coming up?
So, you know, we won't
understand that because of some of the answers you just can't give.
Do you understand bullshit?
Yeah.
we just had to drop that twice, so I had to get rid of a couple of curse words, and apparently perhaps the system dictates that if you have to do that in back-to-back, then the call will drop out.
Oh,
So they had to dump them because
I couldn't stop cursing. I ain't here to listen to you two play grab ass. I had a sleepless night on my plane full of sackless losers. Not a taste of Johnny Blue, and worst of all, I ain't rode no whores. This is BS.
Yeah, you can't say that, Click.
So their system is if you swear twice in 20 seconds, they'll call automatically drops.
Apparently so.
That's a fancy system.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Take that, Jimmy.
So literally, this is obviously unedited, right? Because we get the pauses and the breaks
and
everything.
They beeped it. Yeah, so it was unedited this morning when it ran because he's just all cranky coming off that plane.
Now listen here. I don't like your fresh mouth. I'm tired. All there was cutty sack. Cheap crap on the plane. And I ain't had one loose whore. Leave you with a joke before you hang up on me. What do the cowboys and high-priced whores have in common? People pay really good money to watch them suck.
But he really, like, he's pissed. But he should, again, you said this weeks ago, Baz, he should look in the mirror and be mad at himself on his decision to keep
Jason Garrett. Oh, you have
to
fire this coach.
He's been told for years, not just by his fan base, but the national NFL media, and he's refused to fix it. The team flat out on national television, like they did on Thanksgiving, quit on Garrett. They quit.
Do you want to save your season?
I don't know.
Do you want to go on a run? The team has quit on the coach, as Murray just said. It is obvious Garrett cannot get those guys to respond in big moments. Just can't. And now the clock is ticking. The division is still yours. You get to host a playoff game. Like, you can, if you catch lightning in a bottle, you can still go on a run. But they're not going to do it for Garrett.
No, I think it's over. I mean, you'd have to tell me off the top of my head, how many cases are there of a coach in the middle of a season taking over and bringing a team, like, on a run?
Raymond Berry in 1985.
That's a long time ago.
Okay, but I mean, I don't know. That's the first one that comes to mind. Raymond Berry here in New England.
I'm starting to think that he, like you two, has lost his fastball. Like
Jones?
The real Jerry Jones back in the.
And what I did is I told Rich Dalrymple to open up the plane and throw Garrett out the plane. I had him killed, and that was one extra whore for me.
Now he's just limp about the whole thing. Like, you can still kind
of
sell the
very beginning of it real quick.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Real quick. Come on.
All right, here we go.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. Okay? Now, I'm we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, I as a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry.
Got a lot to go over, and I'm going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude, dude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
that's basically Cam Neely with a southern accent and us. Yeah, basically right. What that is.
I like that. I don't have the patience to jack with you.
We're not jacking around here, folks. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Newbury Comics. Find a store near you at newburycomics.com for a wicked good time. Speaking of Newbury Comics, the Natick location, Maz and I will be there tomorrow from 1 to 3, collecting donations for Christmas in the City. Monetary donations and unwrapped toys are welcome. Whatever you can do, Christmas in the City would appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow at the Newbury Comics Natick Mall, 1 to 3 p.m. Keep bidding up those items on the online auction again at 985thesportshub.com and christmasinthecity.org. Back with more and some hot takes coming up right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass, 985 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Phil.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes.
Say hello to my little friend.
Bob Sose.
The little man is back. Yeah, here we go, Bob. Brady's retiring. So here comes Sose with his hot, hot takes. Brady is leaving. Now here comes Sose with his hot, hot takes.
Caramba! Even Brady's dancing.
He's going to rip us. Rip us.
Bob Sose, the voice of the New England Patriots in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He's so hot, he's sponsored. It is brought to you by Coors Light. We got cool down because of all the heat. It's the official beer of football Sundays. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill when the takes get a little heated.
Good thing they fixed the AC, Mike.
Bobby, does this game this week worry you from a Patriots perspective?
It should. Yeah, absolutely. I think Kansas City, they haven't been the offense that we saw last year all season long, but they've been beat up. They've had a lot of injuries. We talk about the adversity the Patriots have faced in the form of injuries. They've had it with key skill players, whether it's Tyreek Hill early in the year and now Damian Williams, along with Darrell Williams, who was a pretty promising young back, not available for this game. He's on IR. The offensive line's had its share of injuries. I think defensively, they've been vulnerable again against the run as the year's gone along. Though it looks like they're getting better, and also looks like the last couple of weeks their coverages are doing more, and they're doing more up front too with games and twists to try to confuse the offensive
line. Refresh me, who have they played?
Now, granted, they've played the L.A. Chargers and the Oakland Raiders. And the Raiders last week turned the ball over on the first two chances to possess the ball. One was an interception by Carr, and then they fumbled away a kickoff return, and the Chargers coughed it up a number of times. And Mahomes has passed for fewer than 200 yards the last couple of weeks. LeSean McCoy has really been non-evident for them recently. It seemed like Andy Reid was kind of putting him on a pitch count and trying to rest him for the stretch run, and they're going to need him, I think, on Sunday night against the Patriots. But it's still an offense that's capable of big plays. They get a lot of big plays more than anybody else. They're capable of exploding and, you know, like last year, turning what was a scoreless performance into a second-half track meet, if that's the case. So I think the Patriots are going to have to be a lot better, stating the obvious, on offense to outscore Kansas City. As good as the Patriots' defense has played.
Yeah, Maz pulled this before the show. It's fascinating. Here's Belichick's five games since Andy Reid took over in Kansas City. Or is this just the last five games?
Since Andy Reid took over, it's all five.
Yeah. So since Andy Reid took over, here are the scores. Okay, and I'll give you the Patriots score first. 14-41. That was the Monday Night Massacre, or the Kansas City Massacre, rather. Okay, that was in 2014. 27-20, that was a win by you. The next game was 27-42. I'm giving the Patriots score first. That was the season opener in 2017.
Alex Smith, the quarterback for Kansas City that night. Mm-hmm.
Last year's regular season game, 43-40. And then the playoff game, 37-31. So you have given up in the five games to Andy Reid with the Chiefs, 31, 40, 42, 20, and 41. They've scored 40 or more points in three of the five and 30 or more points in four of the five. So what is it about that matchup or the personnel or what?
I might add, by the way, it was Alex Smith, the quarterback, but it was also Cassius Marsh, who was chasing Kareem Hunt down
the
field for the Patriots. But I think Belichick raves about Andy Reid, and Bill talks up opposing teams all the time and other head coaches a lot, obviously, when he stands at the podium on Wednesdays and gives you his scouting report on each week's opponent. But I think with Andy Reid, there is a a measure of respect that's probably as high as with any coach around the league, in particular with the way he attacks defenses' vulnerabilities as he sees them. And I think the thing about Kansas City is the speed, the quickness, the motion, the misdirection. Patriots had gone through a stretch, it seemed, for a couple of years where they really had a difficult time with misdirection. And I think the defense for the Patriots has gotten faster over the course of the last few years and is more capable of covering Kansas City as they showed last year in the AFC Championship. I said that Kansas City made it in a track meet. They did, but Andy Reid was able to, you know, once Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were taken out of that game, get big plays from DeMarcus Robinson and Damian Williams. Damian Williams scored 3 touchdowns in the AFC Championship game, and there were near misses with a couple of other guys. Sammy Watkins had a big catch in that game. So he uses all of his personnel. There might be a guy who didn't have a catch last week who could go for 100 yards this week. You look at their game-by-game totals, and there are a number of players that, you know, pop out on 1 week in their game-by-game line with a huge performance. Yeah. And I think that's the thing about Reed is he attacks the defense, and he does it with all of his personnel.
So, Bob, I know this sounds crazy. I actually like the Patriots in this game because I think the matchup favors them. And I say that as I think they can cover the wide receivers. The big thing to me is the running back situation in Kansas City. I think they've had instability there. They're banged up. I don't think McCoy is the same player, but you tell me, because the running backs, throwing to the running backs has always been a big part of this offense.
Well, look at last week, Duke Johnson for Houston. And if you can isolate running backs and tight ends on Patriot linebackers, and I still wonder about the rotation of the Patriots defensive personnel last week and how much that was affected. I don't want to say it was as an excuse, but I think a factor, how they went into that game, the condition that they were in. But I think your point about the Patriots matching up with Kansas City is especially I think it's especially acute when you look at the way other teams try to defend Kansas City, like Oakland. Not physical at all at the line of scrimmage with Travis Kelce. The Patriots are going to defend Kelce and Hill, and they're going to try to be physical with those guys. And they have enough cornerbacks, defensive backs, that I think, as they showed last year in the AFC Championship, they can match up well with those guys.
Bob, don't you think this defense was built for Kansas City?
I think to a large degree, absolutely, in offenses like this, Tony, absolutely. And I think the thing that you're right about the running back situation is, now, McCoy could still be a threat in this game. He just hasn't been on the field a lot and hasn't had a lot of touches in recent weeks. But when you look at the ability to get a running back on a linebacker, and we talked about Damian Williams last year. Now, they used the pick play brilliantly, but they got a big touchdown out of it. He was completely uncovered. And I think that in this game, you know, maybe Kansas City goes in with, you know, maybe one less piece for Andy Reid to try to create that favorable matchup. But it's still a dangerous offense.
Bobby, thanks for coming in. We look forward to the call.
All right, guys.
That's it.
Yeah,
Robert, quick and easy.
I had all these hot takes in reserve.
When it's that hot, we gotta air out the studio, dude.
I'll save them for next week.
425 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Soucy and Zolak with the call. Quick break. Back with more here on an agenda-free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
You're on the injury report. Tom versus toe. How's your toe?
That might be the first time my toe's ever been on the injury report. So, you know us Patriots, we're pretty diligent about listing everything. So I guess we have to make mention of my toe now as well.
All right. How about your elbow? Tom versus elbow. How's the elbow this week?
Isn't there some HIPAA violation or something like that when I start talking about all my injuries?
You're allowed to talk about yourself. It's everybody else who can't disclose it.
I know. Well, I'm doing pretty good. At this time of the year, I'll take it. I'll take anything, but if I'm still able to go out there and feel like I can play my best. So I'm feeling really good, really positive about this week. And
That's some more creeping there last night with Jim Gray and Tom Brady.
Now that is some A-plus grab ass is what that is.
And we cut out the worst of it.
Tom versus elbow. And what about the toe? Did the little piggy go to market, Tom? Little piggy stay home? Did this little piggy have roast beef? Did that little piggy have none? Oh, God, he's a creep.
So let me facilitate an answer. I'll ask and answer the question. Do we think Brady's banged up? Answer, I don't. I think on the list of issues surrounding this team and this offense, Brady's health is way down the list. Way down the list.
His physical health.
I'm more worried about his mental health. Thank you. I was just going to say that. I'm more worried about his mental health, his patience level, his investment level in the people around him and the players around him. Like those, that intangible quality, I'm far more concerned about than his elbow or his toe. He can still throw the football just fine. He can still move as well as he needs to move. That has not been the issue this year. So I ain't buying any of that injury stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's laughing it off, for crying out loud. He's like, oh, geez, my toe made it on there? Well, you know us. We're pretty diligent, as if to say, really? I don't have a toe injury. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. He's fine. He's fine.
Okay, let's get in the holiday spirit and cheer with a big fan of the program, Bob in Easton. Hi, Bobby.
Is it possible for Bill Belichick to have a collapse trade with Garoppolo 3 years ago and then not a collapse trade 3 years later?
What do you mean?
Listen, guys, think about this for a second. That Garoppolo trade, first, when we talk about Tom Brady's dad, uncle, aunt, niece, and everybody saying it's on Belichick, Belichick already planted the seed that he wanted to move on from Brady 3 years ago. Okay? Remember the stories around the trade? Rob Kraft had to step in.
Right.
To force Belichick to trade Garoppolo. Now, with Garoppolo being successful, have you noticed in the last 2.5-3 years, we think Belichick's actually signed an extension. Bob Kraft all of a sudden is no longer going to step in and have any decision about Tom Brady. So who is the smartest guy in the room again? Bill Belichick, because he already, it doesn't matter what anybody says, he already wanted to move on from him. And guess what? Who has the leverage now? When Tom's dad speaks, he should tell his father to shut up. because what he's doing, when he says he only wants to play for New England, he wants to stay, guess what? That's playing right into Belichick's hands. And when he can't deliver,
so
we move on.
Well, so, Bob, it is putting it on Bill. And what you just said is a common feeling out there, that Bill has purposely put Brady in a bad spot so he can leverage him out, maybe prove himself right on Garoppolo, whatever, like this storyline, right? That in order for Bill to wrest control back, he had to minimize Brady's importance to the operation. I've heard this a million times. I don't buy it. I think it's so wrong. If that were the case, why are the last three first-round picks on offense? If that were the case, why did they go forward with an incredibly risky and ultimately stupid decision to bring in Antonio Brown? And then when Antonio Brown failed, they didn't just say, oh, well, we've shot our bullets. We don't have anything left. No, they went immediately back out and overpaid for Mohamed Sanu. So what is this thing about Bill purposely trying to put Brady in a bad spot? That's asinine.
Yeah, I don't think that that's true.
Gronkowski retired on them. They didn't fire him, okay? And Bill did try to trade him the year before, but that didn't happen this offseason. They were waiting on Gronkowski. If Gronkowski came back, he'd be here. Antonio Brown was here. It's not Bill's fault. Antonio Brown couldn't help himself from threatening people. So this thing that Bill purposely put Brady in a bad spot is just freaking asinine.
Yeah, I don't think that that's the case. Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when I did, but I don't think it's okay. By the way, it's ended up that way just because Bill made some bad decisions. But it's not that he purposely set out to leave Brady high and dry. It's just that's where we've ended up.
No, so to me, the part of it that's relevant is that I think that that's how Brady feels.
Yes.
And so now, again, when you look at it and you say, well, they tried to pay Adam Humphries. In fact, they then went back a second time and tried to give him more money than Tennessee did, but he had already committed and didn't take it. By that point, Beasley was already gone. He was, you know, they had tried to trade for Antonio Brown. The Steelers wouldn't do it. Hell, there was rumors about them with Odell Beckham, for crying out loud. I mean, there were a million things out there, and Gronk screwed him on Jared Cook because they should have Jared Cook as a tight end. Even so, like, you know, they made an attempt to help the offense, and it just didn't happen.
Just the, but how the Bradys are putting this on Belichick is just reading these Tom Brady senior comments again. It's like Bill is all over the everything goes back to Bill. So again, Tom Brady Sr. spoke on the record after, I feel like, speaking off the record quite a bit to Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald and asked about Brady's future, his son's future. He says, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to envision him playing for someone else. He wants to play, but ultimately, it's Bill's decision. Nobody really knows but Bill. Bill doesn't tip his hand. There's just been insinuations here and there. This is really kind of between those two. If Bill says he doesn't want Tommy, Tommy wants to play. Well, Joe Montana went to Kansas City. I mean, talk about a holding the loaded gun right there.
Totally.
Hey, Tommy still wants to play. Even Joe Montana went somewhere else. But then immediately he goes, just because Bill decides he wants to move on, that won't dictate Tommy's future. I'm sure there are a lot of teams in the league that would want him. Like, woohoo! Game on, Tom Sr. Thank you. Hope you guys are doing well. Honestly, mean it. Thank you for this. I just know 20 years in the league, Bill doesn't keep old guys very long. If that's what Bill wants to do, Bill doesn't keep the contract. Who knows? Tommy is an anomaly in this equation. He's been here 20 years. No one has been there like that. Everybody has a conclusion to their career that's generally not in their hands. I just know Tommy loves playing football. He loves everything about it. He loves his teammates. I don't think anyone knows right now what's going on. Bill may know. Bill doesn't make a decision. Bill. It's all on Bill. Tommy doesn't want to be the one that, hey.
Walks out the door.
They didn't want me. And the Crafts are going to say, Tommy didn't want us. He asked for the franchise tag. And it's Bill's decision anyway. And then they're going to ask Bill. And he's going to say, well, we just do what's best for the football team.
Boy, it's amazing, right? 2 years ago, they all couldn't get involved enough in the whole thing. Now nobody wants to touch it. Kraft would jump in to prevent, Bill from keeping Garoppolo. Like, you know, Bill wanted to move. Everyone was active. Now all of a sudden, everybody's hands off. Don't look at us. No, we had nothing to do with it.
Tom,
no,
did your father also injure his toe when he put his foot in his mouth?
Did he put his foot in his mouth?
No.
But this makes. I mean, it's obviously coming from Brady. Like, he's bitched to his dad. It's a bad look.
Yes. Well.
So I agree with Bob and Easton on this. If I were Brady, I'd tell my father, don't talk.
Oh, he has. He has.
Don't talk.
He has. He's has many times. And I think the father's kept it off the record. Karen maybe got him on a good day, good night, whatever. Good for KG. Great reporter. She got it. But I don't think this is the first time. I mean, criminy, this is Gasper's column last week. So as soon as I read it, I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Of course.
You know, like, this is what's happening now. But it is a change, and it tells you. And I think it started last year with the contract, as Maz has mentioned many times. And that, boy, that Brady comment has to be a tip-off. When he said at training camp, go ask Kraft. Well, I'm just kidding, you know. But, like, that thing came out of his lips. So you got to go ask Robert that. So Robert took himself out of it. So we'll see.
I mean, really, it goes back a couple of years. It does. It goes back a couple of years when they moved Garoppolo, and Brady thought he was getting an extension, and it never happened. It still hasn't happened.
Okay, meanwhile, thoughts on this week and Belichick versus Reed. Boy, that's an interesting matchup and what Andy Reid's offenses have done to this team. Do we expect that to happen again? We'll pick that up with your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Bill, you mentioned in the past that Andy is as good a coach as there is when it comes to adapting and incorporating new concepts into his offense from whatever level. How, if at all, have you seen him do that this season?
I'll just watch him play. I mean, I'm rolling down the field against everybody. Andy's a game plan coach. He's not going to do the same thing every day, every week. It's not going to keep running the same plays over and over again. I mean, that's just not what they do. They attack defenses, and each week's a different defense, and so it changes the attack a little bit based on how he matches up against those teams and what they do. But he's a good play caller and game planner as anybody I've coached against. I mean, he consistently creates problems. I mean, look, he has a lot of great players. That helps, but he does a great job of putting them in good positions and creating problems for the defense and attacking weaknesses. He's very good.
I'll tell you what. I find fascinating the guys that Bill really respects and you can tell Belichick really respects, he's pretty much right about. Like, he gives lip service to all these coaches. Like, he'll play the Steelers and say, yeah, they're really situational and they switch it up all the time, which is a flat-out lie that they're just the opposite, right? That they just do what they do, and you know it's lip service. But when he talks about guys like Reed, when he talks about – he used to talk this way about Mike Shanahan, and I think he feels the same way about Kyle Shanahan, you can tell. And so I sort of take stock in that. That's always why I put Andy Reid sort of high in my coaching rankings, even though he's really flawed. His offensive scheming is
exceptional.
It really is nice.
Yeah, look, again, think of him as an offensive coordinator, right? Not a head coach, because the head coaching, there's just all kinds of holes there. But in terms of running an offense, particularly in Kansas City, he's owned Belichick. He's owned him. I mean, he scored 40 twice with Alex Smith, the quarterback. Okay, and he's done it, 71 points the last 2 years with Mahomes. The one game where he didn't get 30, that was 27-20.
It's just as a head coach, and we mock him for it, but the ordering from the cheesecake menu, sitting on the bench, I mean, it's one thing to be a head coach and really just focus on one side of the ball. You at least have to stand on the sidelines and follow the game a little bit. Where if your team needs to call a timeout or accept or decline a penalty, you have to be there standing on the sideline to make that decision as the head coach. He goes and sits on the bench like he's the fullback.
Do you want a reminder of what that sounds like?
Do I have to? Do I have to be reminded?
Jimmy, could you pull me up here?
Coach, third down. What do you want me to run?
Okay. Which one's going to be big? We're going to go gun brown right 74. Oh, my God. I need that crusted chicken, Romano. Who doesn't love cheese crusted chicken?
That's just wrong. It's just wrong on so many levels. But that really, it's like, dude, I know you're not calling the defense, but you should be there to manage your timeouts and manage the clock and manage accept or decline, or you can't go sit down. So
in his case, he might have needed a breather.
We're back to your phones in 1 second. I want to update you on Christmas in the City. And first of all, they'll bring in a special guest on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's Jim Carmody. He's the general manager at the Seaport Hotel, who was gracious enough once again to host us yesterday and host the Christmas in the City auction, in which they raised $25,000 yesterday after we were off the air. But hopefully we encourage people to show up and help bump up that number at least a little bit. Jim, thanks for joining us. How did yesterday go?
It went fabulous, and thank you very much for your support. Not only did you help last night, and it was a very exciting, very animated group, but I was at the gym this morning, and I had several people come up to me and said that they heard you speaking on the radio yesterday, and they said that they are very motivated to participate, and they're going to be bringing in some gifts, dropping them off here at the Seaport Hotel. So I want to thank you for your spirit and enthusiasm and passionate support of Christmas in the City, because it makes a difference.
So thanks, Jim. So people can still go. You have toy drops there at the Seaport right now.
Yes, we make it easy. So you just pull up to the front door of the Seaport Hotel at 1 Seaport Lane. The doorman will take the gift right there. We collect them right up to the on the 21st. A truck comes up and we load up the truck with all the toys, but we still collect toys up to the December 23rd. So yes, we are still collecting. We usually collect a couple of thousand toys, and we're looking forward to receiving yours.
So Jim, thank you again for that plug. The thing about the support of Christmas in the City is very important to us, but it's also a layer of supporting Jake Kennedy and, all the things that he's done for the community and, just how I hold him in the highest esteem in terms of someone who helps other people and puts himself in that position. And, there's a level of personal support for him now, especially now since he got some bad news last month. Jim, I'm sure you feel the same.
Jake and Sparky began Christmas in the City and City Hall in 1989. Now, 30 years later, it's still going strong, a remarkable legacy to the passion of Sparky and Jake. Now, it's so tragic, the news that just came out. And during the events of last night, I bet I heard it at least 20 times. I love that man. It was the same refrain repeated over and over by so many different individuals. And they're just pulling for him and what he's meant to so many people. And this is going for 30 years, and it's a 100% volunteer organization. That's unbelievable for something of such size and scope.
Okay, Jim, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for yesterday. And again, Jim, at the Seaport Hotel, go there to drop a toy. And Jim, thanks again for your efforts. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care. And again, just so you don't know, Jake was diagnosed with ALS last month. So I'm feeling, Maz, that, you know, in addition to Christmas in the City, I may be turning my attention to another cause as well. Because that disease.
Horrible.
Is our most insidious.
Yeah.
I mean, and we all know it now through so much awareness with Frady's and
Jim Martin, the cameraman for Nesson as
Jim
well.
Martin, yeah, right. You know, and even going back to like Schilling when he did his stuff, you know, way back when, there's a reason people are so serious about that disease and attacking that disease. I think it is our most insidious disease that we have right now.
Well, look, you hear this a lot, and that's one where I think everybody knows somebody who is either affected by it or tangentially affected by it. And it is. It's horrible. They've made strides in the area of ALS, but, you know, it is a brutal, brutal illness that really just eats away at the human body. And so we're behind Jake 100%, and I know he'll hang in there. He's that kind of guy.
Okay. In the meantime, Christmas in the City continues. All right. We will be at the Natick Mall tomorrow at the Newbury Comics accepting your toy and monetary donations. And more importantly, for the here and now, is our online auction. It continues. ChristmasInTheCity.org or 985thesportshub.com. They will both take you to where you need to go to bid on all these items, including Patriots tickets for that Miami game in Week 17, which could be Tom Brady's final home game as a New England Patriot. So let's bid those up. There's Bruins tickets, Celtics tickets, Maz's golf outing with Hardy. They'll take two of you out on the golf course. That's always a big hit, and it is again this year. Is it 1,300? Do you have it up in front of you?
Last time I checked, it was at that amount. It looked like it was going up a little bit. So the more you spend, the more fun we'll have. Right, Murray?
That's right.
And so that may come with a special Big Jim Murray prize package. Or a gift bag before you head out on the course. But the prize item of the whole thing is the Felger and Maz show sit-ins. We're taking the top four highest bids for that. You get to come in and run a segment on Felger and Maz. That's it. Period. Story over. You can run it. You can be a co-host. You can do an update if you want. If you are a would-be broadcaster, one of these young broadcasters who wants to get in the business, come in and run a segment. Put it on your demo reel. You will be live on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. So if you own a business, you can come in here representing your business, logo the crap out of the studio if you want, get all your logoing out there. I mean, I don't know what a 10-minute commercial would cost on our air, but I don't know. Just think of it like that, because you could treat it like that if you want.
Costs a lot, and I'm happy to report that right now the top four bids are all over $3,000.
Okay, so it's not cheap, but it's worth it, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, and let's bid those up, because every dime, and again, that's what's important for Christmas in the City, it's 100% volunteer. So every dime goes to those toys, to those kids, to the event. And that's, so you should know that. So let's bid those up. ChristmasInTheCity.org, 985thesportshub.com. No commercials, just a quick update from Murray, and then I promise, right to your call.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.